Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Remember Build Back Better? Instead, we got broke, bumbling Biden. Nothing is built, nothing is back, and nothing is better.
Donald Trump Jr., just before the keynote address, of course, with J.D. Vance last night, it was interesting because we talked about how Matt Gaetz was sort of a different tone. Donald Trump Jr.'s tone was similar, but he's not quite the flamethrower with the rhetoric that Matt Gaetz is.
Bombastic.
And, yeah, exactly. And also having the quip. Matt is very, very good at the quip, right?
And honestly, who is actually running the country anyway? It's obviously not Joe Biden. So who are they asking us to elect? Seriously, who's running things? Does anyone really know? Is it Jill? Is it Hunter? Barack Obama? Maybe it's the ghost of Corn Pop.
This is a pretty good joke. But yeah, because so many people do not believe that it's actually Joe Biden, you know, running things. I thought it was actually kind of interesting in his speech, which, again, I didn't particularly like his speech either. I wasn't a huge fan of J.D. Vance. I'm coming around to it on the we just want you to like him, and that's all. We're just here to make sure you like him. You know, that's the goal. Don Trump Jr.'s speech, it fell a little bit flat for me in terms of what I was really – I thought the earlier stuff was the Gold Star family's World War II veteran, mm-hmm. and actually his daughter. We'll get to this in just a second. Yeah. His daughter was amazing. And you'll see why if you didn't happen to watch this. But there's a verbal element to this next one. Like, what are the words he's using? I thought was very smart and very appropriate.
And we will fight. We will fight. We will fight with our voices. We will fight with our ideas. And on November 5th, we will fight with our vote.
You may not have picked up on it, but he's very deliberately nuancing the fight. Not saying fight, 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 but fight with voices. Because the left has so consistently misinterpreted Trump as advocating for violence. That's been the allegation, right? Inciting to violence in all these different ways. I think misinterpretation. But so he's not giving them the chance. You're not just going to fight. We're going to fight with voices. We're going to fight with ballots. We're going to fight with votes, right?
Thought that was good too.
That was an appropriate thing for him to say. Here's my one thought about Don Trump Jr.'s speech. In contrast with his daughter's speech, I think he missed an opportunity. Maybe she did all that needed to be done. Okay? But I'm gonna share with you some of what she said, and we'll come back and talk about how I think he missed an opportunity here. But maybe she did it. So he starts off funny. This is kind of funny to begin with.
Before I begin my remarks, I'm going to do something a little uncharacteristic. A Trump is going to give up the microphone.
That's funny.
Doesn't happen often. You may never see it again.
That's a good line.
I got a call on Monday morning from a young lady who said, "Dad, I want to speak at the RNC.
Okay, we're going to get a kid up here.
I want to speak at the RNC because I want America to know what my grandpa is actually like."
Grandpa. Not the term you often hear when you're thinking about President Trump, right? And it's her first ever speech. And when she comes out, you know,
Kai Madison Trump.
I didn't know what to expect. I don't know his family. I was thinking it was going to be like an 8-year-old.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. It was going to be a little kid.
He's older than I thought, I guess.
Yeah, and this is from his first marriage. And so, okay, so she's 17, and she comes out on stage. And she's got, just in case you didn't watch it, and so it doesn't catch you by surprise, she's got a little bit of a, some kind of a speech pathology. I'm not quite sure what it is, but,
impediment or something.
Just so you're not surprised by that if you didn't hear it. But when she talked, the whole room was, aside from the Gold Star families and World War II veterans, this was the smartest thing that they did yesterday at the convention. John Pickens is back in Pensacola with our traffic on the fives.
Thank you. The vehicle crash with roadblock that's still there at Eglin Parkway and Racetrack Road. We're seeing backup on Eglin going west and southbound, so just be aware of that. Other than that, I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back at the convention last night, the room was, had been completely emotionally invested in what had been happening so far with the Gold Star families and with the World War II veteran, whose name is Bill Peckrell. And then Donald Trump Jr., before the keynote address from J.D. Vance, introduces her, and she comes on the stage, and we're like, I don't know what we're going to get here.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kai Mazin Trump. I am the granddaughter of Donald Trump. I'm speaking today to share the side of my grandpa that people don't often see. To me, he's just a normal grandpa. He gives us candy and soda when our parents aren't looking.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
love it.
He gave a look. How we're doing in school. When I made the high honor roll, he printed it out to show his friends how proud he was of me.
Yeah. And what were you going to say, Bobby?
Trump gave a look like he got busted.
Yeah. See, like that is just, I mean, from a sales perspective, right? From a presenting the candidate and reimagining who Trump is, absolutely brilliant.
He calls me during the middle of the school day to ask how my golf game is going and tells me all about his. But then I have to remind him that I'm in school and I'll have to call him back later.
Grandpa,
yeah.
I'm in chemistry class. Can you not remember my schedule?
Yeah. When we play golf together, if I'm not on his team, he'll try to get inside of my head. I know. And he's always surprised that I don't let him get to me. But I have to remind him I'm a Trump too.
So good. And it's all, you don't see this or hear this. And particularly because people have a view of Trump that's the persona, the character, the carnival barker, the statesman, the angry deterrence guy, the whatever you view him as, right? The brand. This is, he's so much beyond that. And what we know of him, I want you to know what he is underneath all of that.
Even when he's going through all these court cases, he always asks me how I'm doing. He always encourages me to push myself to be the most successful person I can be. Obviously, he sets the bar pretty high, but who knows? Maybe one day I'll catch him.
Like I might be president?
Yep.
Pretty good. Pretty good. All right. So just a couple more because I thought this stole the show.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's definitely stole the show from Don Trump Jr.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there was not even he was like, oh, and he's still talking after all of this.
On Saturday, I was shocked when I heard that he has been shot, and I just wanted to know if he was okay. It was heartbreaking that someone would do that to another person. A lot of people have put my grandpa through hell, and he's still standing.
And she goes on, and this is, again, the side of Trump you don't see. And we were, they're always cutting to his face. They're showing him his face on the Jumbotron. So you're seeing the kind of kinder, gentler Trump, the smiling Trump, who just had an assassination attempt on his life. And he's different to me. I mean, we haven't heard him speak, so I'm very interested in the speech tonight. But he's been different to the degree that we were able to observe him.
Grandpa, you are such an inspiration, and I love you.
And then the last thing she said.
The media makes my grandpa seem like a different person, but I know him for who he is. He's very caring and loving. He truly wants the best for this country, and he will fight every single day to make America great again. Thank you very much.
So obviously this was incredibly effective. She was fantastic. The slice of him that you got to see through her eyes as the grandpa who's secretly slipping her sodas and candy and calling her, and, yeah, you know, like so just all of it. And is proud of her getting on a roll, you know, that, yeah, all that kind of stuff. And what I mentioned before is I feel like Don Trump Jr., either he missed an opportunity or maybe he felt like it had already been accomplished by his daughter, because he didn't do the personal in the way he talked. He was just the sort of, a lot of what he said could have been said without the shooting, even though he mentioned it.
I've always been proud of him, but I've never been prouder of my father than I was in that moment. That's when the world found out that there is tough, and then there's Trump tough. And the good news is, America is Trump tough.
That's a good line. Don't get me wrong. But honestly, I would have wanted to hear, how did it make you feel?
Yeah.
How, you know, I'm a son.
We got the perspective.
I have a dad.
The granddaughter.
Yeah. Tell me, you know, the human, even apart from the shooting, you know, the human side of things, that would have been helpful. But also, you know, your dad just almost got assassinated. Tell me how you're doing. Mm-hmm. Because if the message is, you know, we're people with feelings and emotions and we joke in private, okay, so let us in on some of that. Now, maybe he felt like he couldn't. Maybe he didn't consider. You know, sometimes maybe he felt like if he'd have done that, he'd be just bawling. I mean, who knows?
That's true. Like, I don't want to break down in front of thousands of people and millions watching.
But what if, you know, I mean, just kind of hypothetically imagine, what if Don Trump Jr. broke down crying in the podium in front of the RNC over his dad almost dying in front of his, you know, his eyes?
Yeah.
It just, I mean,
that's one of the things that caught me with Laura the night before. Mm-hmm. She said she rushed to the remote to shut off the TV that was scarred.
So the kids, that's
life.
Right.
And I was, that was like one of those moments, like, oh, I
that
can't
that mama
imagine.
Protection, yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine being a mom.
And yet wanting so badly to know what's happening, but realizing that in that instant, I got to protect these kids from this.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So, you know, we haven't played the World War II veteran just yet. I'll get to that here as soon as I have a chance to do it. But our own experience at the convention, it's been very interesting because, you know, obviously we see a lot of things that are outside of the arena, and we see a lot of the, like, empty streets and the, you know, the Secret Service screenings, and, you know, somebody tried to smuggle in a giant bottle of alcohol that was in the discard bin at the
fantastic
TSA line. And some, like, Dove men's body lotion or something. I don't know what it was. Like, all this weird stuff in the bin. I will tell you this. The Secret Service have been fantastic. The TSA has been fantastic. The police, law enforcement, they are all they have been outstanding. One thing I have noticed is everybody is super polite. Mm-hmm. Super polite, especially to the cops. I mean, I know I thank them all the time, but I hear other people doing the same thing. Hey, thanks for being out here. Thanks for doing what you're doing. There's no problem. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. One person had asked me this is, are we going to go to the DNC? And we're still in the planning stage of this, trying to decide what makes sense for us, whether to cover. I will absolutely cover the DNC. I always do. The question of whether I'm going to go is still kind of open. One of the questions I had was, I'd be curious to know what the level of decorum, civility, and frankly, kindness to the cops would be at the DNC. Maybe it's exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not. You know, I don't know. But anyway, so we're still working all that out. But of course, we will cover the DNC, obviously. The only question is, you know, if I'm going to be there, if Bobby's going to go, who's exactly going to, you know, go to Chicago? I'm from there, so, you know, there's good food in Chicago. I know that much. The police have been fantastic all around, and it's gotten better every day. The screenings have become more efficient. The car screenings have become much more efficient. We saw a couple of weak protests yesterday. I mean, very weak, like three or four people. The strongest presence yesterday in terms of disruption, if you want to call it that, was a couple of street preachers, you know, that were evangelizing people. But yeah, not much in that regard. We did have a great event, by the way. We went out to the American Family Field, which is where the Brewers play. There was an 18 state recreational entertainment kind of event with what's the guy's name?
Randy Houser.
Randy Houser.
Lee Greenwood was there before we got there. We missed him. But
okay. But he was performing, and it was good, and the food was amazing. But it's a good reminder that a lot of what goes on at the convention is aside from at the hall where these delegates have a good time. It's a party. Yeah. I mean, it is absolutely a party. It's a party in breakfast in the morning. It's a party during the day. And then it's a party at night for all of these delegates apart from what's going on at the convention. It's definitely an event. 7:25 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Broadcast is brought to you in part by DeFranco Gas. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still over in Fort Walton Beach, dealing with that accident that happened at Racetrack Road in Eglin Parkway. Traffic starting to move just a little bit, but we are seeing some delays to west and southbound associated with that. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Winning at life is a scriptural concept. Run that you may obtain speaks of winning. Run in such a way that you avoid being a castaway. We should run like Paul, not Demas. Paul fought a good fight, finished his course, and kept the faith, and henceforth there's laid up for him a crown of righteousness. However, Demas forsook his friend and his faith, having loved this present world. Paul was a winner, but Demas was a castaway. So what's the key to winning at life? The Bible says it's temperance, self-control. It's not asceticism, religious self-effort, but it is spirit-enabled self-control. Temperance is a fruit of the spirit. It's allowing your position in Christ to determine your pursuits. So avoid being a castaway by biblically regulating each area of your life, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, verbally. Control yourself for God's glory. Spirit-filled self-control is the key to winning at life.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Do you like to fish, go to football games, or camp out?
So do teens in foster care who are awaiting adoption.
Families First Network is the connection between children who wait in foster care and families who adopt.
As the trusted partner for adoptions in Northwest Florida, Families First Network connects adoptive families with training and support through the entire process.
Begin your journey by signing up for a free Zoom information session at familiesfirstnetwork.org.
That's familiesfirstnetwork.org.
On September 11th, 2001, an operations officer placed a call asking if a crew could be ready to fly. U.S. Naval Aviator Aaron Dimmock answered that call. Working largely in silence, Dimmock defended America. Now he's ready to answer the call yet again. Pro-Trump conservative, Aaron Dimmock for Congress. Florida Patriots PAC, paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FloridaPatriotsPAC.com.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good Good morning, 729 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and David Wayne has got our headlines for us. David?
Well, the Massachusetts Air National Guardsman that leaked classified documents is now going to face a military court-martial. Guardsman Jack Teixeira pleaded guilty earlier this year on 6 federal counts of transmission of national defense information. He'll be charged now under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So far, there's no court date on that. A public visitation being held today for the Pennsylvania man killed during the assassination attempt on President Trump's life at a rally last weekend. Corey Comprater died Saturday, a private funeral service being held on Friday. He leaves behind a wife and 2 daughters.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. By the way, somebody had texted in, do you think the continual talking about the assassination attempt is re-traumatizing Trump? And you and I had this conversation, Bobby.
We've been talking about.
You know, I think it depends on how it's done, but it certainly can. It's been 5 days, for goodness sake. I mean, it's fresh.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. Newly minted vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance headlined the Republican National Convention last night.
My message to you, my fellow Republicans, is we love this country and we are united to win.
The unity theme continues tonight when former President Trump closes out the convention in his first speech since the assassination attempt. Meanwhile, Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle is going to testify before a House committee next week about security failures that led to that assassination attempt on Donald Trump.
We had to subpoena her to come. She wouldn't come voluntarily to come Monday. What the hell is going on? She should have been the first person to stand in front of the country and assure them, assure us, to say, we're going to get to the bottom of this, period.
That is Florida Congressman Michael Waltz on Fox and Friends. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio Pensacola. It's 78 degrees right now, mostly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Congressman Matt Gaetz says Republicans will ride or die with Donald Trump.
Donald Trump is unstoppable. Elect him president again, and America will be unstoppable too.
During his speech yesterday at the Republican National Convention, Gaetz threw his support behind the former president and argued that Americans are, quote, sicker, lonelier, and poorer under the Biden administration. He also took a shot at New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, who was convicted on bribery charges, saying inflation is now so bad, quote, you can no longer bribe Democratic senators with cash alone. You have to use gold bars, end quote. Gaetz, of course, one of Trump's most loyal allies in Congress. Officials in Okaloosa County say an animal cruelty case that recently led to several arrests is one of the worst that they've ever seen. 3 Crestview women, Jara Frazier, Bonna Suhan, and Evelyn Colbert, were arrested on aggravated animal cruelty charges Friday. 41 animals were found severely malnourished.
They were hours away from passing away if they did not receive medical intervention.
Danielle Lamar there with Alacqua Clinic, who talked with Channel 3, and she says the animals that were put in their care are now starting to regain their strength but still have a long road ahead. Attorney General Ashley Moody says we'll finally get to see what the ACC is hiding in its effort to keep Florida State from leaving the conference. Moody announced yesterday she's secured an agreement from the ACC to provide secretive media rights contracts at the center of the conference's legal battle with FSU. She says the contracts detail how FSU will be affected if it leaves the conference. The documents the ACC will release date back to 2010. Moody says the ACC agreed to produce all the agreements to her office by August 1st. Escambia County Public Schools are now taking steps to address overcrowding in their schools. They're investing more than $3 million to purchase a property in the Beulah area for a new school building.
We can't keep waiting around to make decisions until it's too late. Beulah Elementary School's got 900 students. We've had a multitude of portables out there. We really want to get out of the portable business.
That is District Superintendent Keith Leonard, who tells Channel 3 that new building will be north of Nine Mile Road in an area where there's a lot of home development occurring. The school board approved the purchase this week. The new school will be less than a mile from Beulah Elementary and Beulah Middle School. Leonard says they are looking at the possibility of having a primary school with kindergarten through second grade in one building and an intermediate school with third through fifth in another. The district does still have to finalize plans. Then construction would be estimated to start in about a year. It is 7:35 at News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Yeah, if you're over in Fort Walton Beach, they're in the clearing stages of that accident with the roadblock, but we're still seeing some delays just westbound of that. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. You might see a little delay heading into East Milton from downtown Milton. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout your morning and afternoon. 70% chance of rain, high near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping to 77. For Friday, keeping that scattered shower and thunderstorm forecast around. 70% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping to 76. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got partly cloudy skies. It's 79 in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 77 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. International buyers of U.S. residential real estate are running into the same hurdles as domestic buyers: high prices and tight supply. But they're also up against a strong U.S. dollar, which makes the properties even more expensive for them. As a result, international buyers are pulling out. They've purchased just over 54,000 existing homes from April of last year to March, a 36% drop from the year before, according to the National Association of Realtors. Darden Restaurants will acquire Choi's Holdings for approximately $605 million in cash. Choi's generally total revenue of over $450 million in its latest 12 months, ending March 31st. Darden expects the transaction to be completing in their fiscal second quarter. The Tex-Mex restaurant chain joins Darden's portfolio that includes restaurants such as Olive Garden, Longhorn, and Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Futures are mixed. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 243. That's your money now.
Just in time for the summer season, Piedmore Imports has new Volkswagens being delivered daily with cool savings on their most popular models. Drive the family-sized 2024 Atlas or Atlas Cross Sport with 0.9% APR for 60 months. Or take $3,500 in customer cash. The midsize Tiguan available now with 1.9% APR for 60 months or $2,500 in customer cash. And the sporty Taos crossover with the same 1.9% APR or $2,000 in customer cash. Plus, the four-door Jetta sedan with amazing fuel economy, performance, and style has $2,000 in customer cash or an APR rate of 2.9 for 60 months. This Volkswagen lineup will take you through summer with cooler savings than before at Piedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, meet your friends downtown for another gallery night. This month's theme is Chalk Walk on Palafox. See gallerynightpensacola.org for more info. The Perdido Key Fishing Rodeo is Friday through Sunday. Weigh-ins are at 2-5 each day with raffle drawings and awards beginning at 5 at and around Entertainer Bait and Tackle on Perdido Key Drive. See perdidochamber.com for more. Submit your nonprofit event at newsradio923.com.
Hello, this is Don Spencer, Santa Rosa County Clerk of Court and Comptroller. The clerk's office requires a leader that knows the entire office and its operations. That is why I'm endorsing Jason English as our next Clerk of Court. Jason has 18 years experience in the court system, 3 as my Chief Deputy Clerk. As I retire, he's the only candidate with the education and experience to successfully operate this office. Please join me on August 20th and elect Jason English as our next Clerk of Court and Comptroller. Thank you.
Paid for and approved by Jason English, Republican, Santa Rosa County Clerk of Court and Comptroller.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Elton sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola. Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel. Then get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Have a fire training at the airport next Monday through Wednesday. We always like to warn you before someone flies in and sees something on fire. Next Monday through Wednesday, aircraft rescue and firefighting training will occur at the airport. So you will see fire and smoke. The training will be conducted from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. each day.
So do not worry when you see that going on at the airport next week. And I know Mike Wood, who is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, appreciates us reminding people that when you see weird stuff at the airport next week, don't be worried about it. He joins us now by phone here in Milwaukee. Back in Pensacola is Mike Wood, PIO for PPD. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So that's not the only training that's going to be going on. You all had a training that went on this week, right?
Yeah, all week. We're getting all the officers trained in active threat training, which is formerly known by law enforcement officers as active shooter training. That term was changed because we're training for threats other than just shooters. That's going on near Ascension Sacred Heart in a building that they no longer use, which is located behind the Ronald McDonald House. But everything is inside. There's nothing going on outside. So there'll be a lot of police cars parked over there, but that's about it. But yeah, very important training that we do annually, because every time one of these incidents happen throughout the United States or the world, we look at it and we try to take from it the good things that happen, the bad things that happen, and train and retrain our officers constantly.
Well, it's, you know, it's like so many other things, right? The repetitions, and then debriefing and training and practicing again. But also you learn from the scenarios, and the more you do it, the better you are at doing it. Even if it's all simulation, that's still preparation, so that, because when the thing actually happens, I hate to take a current example, but you have the cop who climbs up on the roof and sees the would-be assassin, and then he points his gun at him, and then he climbs back down, and you think, well, maybe we could have practiced this a little bit more. You know, like, there's opportunities to learn from all of these events, right?
Well, what comes to my mind immediately is the horrific circumstances that happened in Uvalde, Texas. Mm-hmm. So maybe there wasn't a lot of training done there, but we want to train our officers to where there is no thinking about it. It's a split second decision. The first officer on the scene knows exactly what he or she must do. There is no hesitation. And the more we train, the more that's just going to automatically happen in the event, God forbid, the event that it happens in Pensacola.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned something. You said that the nomenclature, we're changing the terminology from active shooter to active threat because there are other threats besides gunfire, which obviously, you know, there's all kinds of things that, wicked people can do. I've never been a big fan of the active shooter term. It seems actually, it's not your choice to make it. I'm just kind of thinking out loud, but it almost makes it too sanitary because, you know, here we have murderers or terrorists or, it just seems to me like the shooter is almost like how we talk about first person shooter games. You know, it's just kind of it's just a thing. It doesn't capture the emotion of it and the danger of it. But I don't know, just personal observation. You don't have to respond. I'm just thinking out loud as we're talking. We did have, unfortunately, I guess last night you had a stabbing that turned into an arrest and some other unpleasantness.
Well, the officers responded to a house in the 900 block of North K Street for a stabbing. The victim was stabbed three or four times and was transported to Baptist Hospital, where the individual went into surgery. But an officer on the scene located the suspect. The suspect fled on foot. He was chased down and caught, and he resisted several officers. Things calmed down for a few moments, but then the individual decided to fight once again, and this time he bit one of the officers. So there were a couple of taser deployments right there. And, you know, this is something that we keep trying to say as often as we can. Please, please, please do not ever resist arrest. because bad things happen. We don't want that to happen. But it happened again last night. So it looks like everybody, the victim, the officer is going to be okay.
You know, I always appreciate what your former boss, Chip Simmons, now the sheriff, of course, always says, that no arrest is pretty. And, you know, some are worse than others. But, you know, we watch these videos, and I know you guys, there had been a video that came out recently with you guys, and it's just kind of like, so much can go wrong. So much can be unexpected. And people do the craziest, loopiest things. And they're like, well, why don't you just subdue them? Dude.
Yeah.
I tell you what, why don't you come with me, do some ride-alongs, and I'll just go ahead and let you try. It's not going to happen, but, you know, let's see how you do, you know? So we're talking to Mike Wood. He's public information officer for PPD. Mike, hang on for just a second. Let's get traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
No accidents or anything to let you know about, no backups. Everything's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Very good, John. This broadcast is brought to you in part by Barbary Plumbing, making it possible for us to be up here in Milwaukee covering the RNC for you live and in real time. Back to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, I have a couple of they're sort of odd questions, but here goes. Here's one. Somebody asked me last week, they wanted to know, if a pedestrian is in a crosswalk, obviously in Florida by law you have to stop for them. But what if somebody, and if somebody is walking a bicycle across a crosswalk, they're a pedestrian with luggage, right? So you have to stop for them. But if somebody is riding a bike across a crosswalk, do you have to stop? And my answer to them was, well, they're a vehicle. They're not even supposed to be doing that at that point. But I wanted to check with you because they wanted an official answer. So what is the law on that?
You know, to be honest with you, I'd have to look that up. I'm familiar with it. They're crossing it. Without riding it, they are a pedestrian. But whether they have the right of way or not, I got to be honest with you, I'd have to check on that because I simply don't know. Now, it would be the right thing to do if you see somebody riding across the road. Obviously, you need to put on the brakes and stop. Please don't hit them, whether you think they're doing the right thing or not. But most bicyclists out there, the majority know the rules of the road and abide by them.
Yeah, I think this person maybe somebody scolded them or something for not, I don't know, it's some kind of thing, and they just weren't sure what the law was either, and I wasn't 100% sure either. But I'm totally with you. When I'm teaching my boys to drive, I'm teaching them, rule number one, avoid the wreck, avoid the crash, protect the pedestrian, protect the bike. You know, no matter how wrong somebody is, try not to hit them. You know, that's your very, very, very first rule. Go ahead.
Well, what I want to say here is that these are pedestrian crosswalks, are called pedestrian crosswalks. Crosswalks for a reason, and if a bicyclist was to ride across there, I believe, you know, that there's bicycle lanes, there's rules of the road, and they know that. So we'll leave it at that.
Question that, you know, actually Bobby and I had this question yesterday. We saw for the first time mounted police here in Milwaukee, and we have seen boat police, we have seen police on bikes. We have seen, obviously, police in the Bearcats. We've seen police on foot. We've seen, and I kind of made the joke online. I said, we've seen every kind of police transportation that I can imagine. As soon as I said that, I'm like, I bet I haven't. But it made me think about, maybe it's a little funny, but do your cops ever consider the use of the electric scooters? Because that seems like, it's a funny image compared to what you think of as the police presence. But at the same time, I'm thinking, well, you know, they are common. They have maneuverability value. They're quick. You can get off them immediately if you need to, you know, be engaging. Even getting off of a bike can take a second or two. Do police ever and do PPD ever think about using the electric scooters?
I think that's something that we looked at many years ago. And then the movie Paul Blart Mall Cop came out.
On the Segway? Yeah.
Yeah. And we ditched that idea. So, not anytime recently we haven't looked into that, but we've got we've got everything from officers walking to bicycles to motors and everything else. So we've got for the city of Pensacola, what we need to get around on, we are doing and we're able to do that effectively for what we need to do.
And I will say, seeing the many, many, many bicycle police here in Milwaukee riding around in their full gear, you know, full tactical vests, ballistic helmets, everything, it's an odd look, but of course I appreciate that they're here because they're doing a fantastic job. But I was just kind of curious about that. And there's nothing less I think the mall security that rides the Segways think that that's like impressive, and everybody else thinks that is anti-impressive. That's exactly the opposite. Well, I would like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, Andrew, but it came up again yesterday. And so I've got to say it again, because one of our local residents not too long ago lost about or just over $200,000 of her life savings. So I want to make sure everybody knows the Pensacola Police Department will never, ever call you asking for money. They will never call you asking you to go get a gift card because one of your loved ones is in jail and they need you need the cash or the money to get them out. We will never tell you there's a warrant for your arrest and you can settle it over the phone with a gift card. That will never, ever happen. And if you know somebody who is an elderly person or someone in your family that may fall for something like this, please get with them. Yesterday, they were using the name of Lieutenant Bruce Martin, who is our internal affairs lieutenant, to make it seem real. They're also able to put numbers on your caller ID to make it look like it's coming from a local number and that it's coming from the Pensacola Police Department. So they're very sophisticated in the way that they are able to rip money off from these people. So, and obviously, it's easy to find out who works at the police department and be able to use their name. So we will never, ever ask for money or gift cards over the phone. That's just not something we do.
That's a great reminder. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Thank you for helping us understand and, for the entire force for keeping us safe, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
7:50 here on News Radio Pensacola. Okay. When I say brand names like BMW, Porsche, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, Genesis, Jaguar, Lexus, you might think, hey, those are very nice cars. You spend extra to get them. They're luxury imports. You have to go to the dealership to get them serviced, right? No. In fact, there's a federal law that protects you in being able to go anywhere to get them serviced. You don't have to go to the dealership. And that means if the dealership is at a distance, like in Mobile or in Destin or something like that, you don't have to spend the money on the gas. You don't have to spend the extra money on going to the dealership. You don't have to waste the time of driving and hoping that the bayway isn't clogged up today. Go to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway and on US 29. That's right. They just expanded. So they are at their second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, Highway 29, right across from the Super Walmart. So they have expanded out of that second place, and you can go there to get the same great service on your imports, on your domestic, on your diesel, on your gas, whatever the car is that you've got or truck. CarClinicService.com online, like a healthcare clinic for your car. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis and now US 29.
Join Tim Ireland from Forrest Jordan & Associates, the Generator Guys, today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tim will be sharing his expertise on home generators and what's involved in getting one for your home. Information on why you would need one, system costs, and what a home generator can do for your home, and answer questions on how they work.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. At Costello's, they have all your summertime barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, brisket, pork butts, and so much more. And at Costello's, you will find all the best boar's head sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready for charcuterie boards to chicken salad, and of course the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. Fine wine and cheeses. Find them today at the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
Trek Bicycle Store of Pensacola is the area's premier bicycle store and full-service repair shop for all makes and models. They specialize in top-notch customer service with the largest selection of e-bikes around. Trek Store has a full line of bike accessories and racks and can fit all riders from a child's first to seniors. Locally owned and operated by Robbie Mott, serving cyclists for over 20 years, you'll experience the best at Trek Bicycle Store of Pensacola, 701 East Cervantes Street, and online at TrekStoreGulfCoast.com.
2017. According to a witness, Congressman Matt Gaetz has sex with a 17-year-old girl. His wingman later tells investigators that Gaetz had sex with the underage girl and knew she was getting paid. Because your daughters are never safe with the real Matt Gaetz. Florida Patriots PAC, paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FloridaPatriotsPAC.com.
The Republican National Convention is going on right now in Milwaukee, and News Radio Pensacola is there. Be sure to tune in to Pensacola Morning News and Pensacola Right Now for all of your updates.
I was there for you when
Good morning, 7:54 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We are in Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention, and boy, I will tell you, I have never gotten so little sleep in a long time. My God. You know, I don't get a lot of sleep to begin with, but, you know, we come back from the event. You know, I mean, they get done speaking last night at 10:30, get back to the hotel 11. Oh, well, by the time we walk and get through security on the outgoing, you know, back to the hotel like 11:30. And then I still have to edit the audio for the show and try to read a little bit of the news, you know. So it's like, I mean, I went to bed last night at 1, I think, and got up at 4, you know. So, I mean, normally I only get about 4, but getting 3 or 2, I think the night before I got 2 hours. It's just, you know, and these people are all asking me, you're going to go to the DNC, right? And I'm like, why do you hate me so much? But, the value would be the compare and contrast. But we'll see. I'm not convinced I'm eager to do this again ever exactly. So let's see. John Pickens back in Pensacola with traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. We're seeing some delays if you're leaving from Pace coming into Pensacola through that construction zone, and watch your speed through that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Pensacola again for David Wayne, who's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, in California, Governor Gavin Newsom being sued over the state's gender identity law. Newsom signed it on Monday. It bans schools from notifying parents if their child changes their name or pronouns. The Chino Valley Unified School District there is now the first in the state to file a lawsuit. They say parents have a right to know. That district, one of at least 7 in the state that require teachers to notify parents. Some conflicting reports over whether New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez will resign after his conviction on corruption charges. Sources tell NBC that he told allies he does plan on stepping down. However, Menendez rejecting that report, telling a CBS News source that he hasn't spoken with anyone about it. And it seems to him there's an effort to try to force him into a statement. He does plan to appeal his guilty verdict. And it seems like this happens a little earlier every year. Maybe if you're working on a home project and have to run to the hardware store, you'll see it. Home Depot rolling out their Halloween decor already today. They're launching their 2024 product lines. And according to the National Retail Federation, Americans spent over $12 billion on Halloween decorations last year.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. Do get text. You might think, oh, he doesn't get his text. No. That's the magic of computers and the internet. Still getting your text, and I appreciate all the input that y'all have been giving us this morning. One just a quick note is it was sort of semi-officially announced yesterday. Terry Shashati was doing a little, that's the village, the commanding officer, Captain Terry Shashati, the commanding officer of the NAS Pensacola, was talking about something that I had seen when I was out at the base last Thursday.
We saw some work being done over both on the left side of the intersection. Kind of a really cool big sign. Escambia County got us a 22-foot wide sign at the West Gate. Right, it looks amazing. And we're probably going to go live on that shortly.
Yeah, it's a big signboard, digital message board. It can tell people all kinds of things like, you know, how's the parking situation at the, at the museum, or if there's any kind of a problem.
It's going to do a multitude of things for us. It's going to help communicate just basic information. Whether it pertains to the museum and the traffic, like, hey, the parking lot is full, or just the standard, hey, we have this fancy admiral coming in. Hey, we want to welcome him.
Fancy admiral, that makes me laugh.
We're going to use it wholeheartedly to help communicate information for everybody that comes in through the Westgate. So I think we're looking to go kind of full live on that next week. We're working out some kinks with the county, but that's a pretty cool thing that we got there.
Yeah, and if you see it, I got a picture of it up on our Facebook page if you want to see. It looks like kind of just it's a big giant marquee sign with a digital middle, and it's blue with Naval Air Station Pensacola, the little duck logo. Duck? Pelican? Seagull? Oh, my God. All of a sudden, I feel really dumb. Anyway, and it says Westgate. Now, one interesting thing to me, anyway, was it's on the east side of Blue Angel, so like the southeast of that corner, and facing north. So when you're on Blue Angel coming toward the base, you'll see it from a long way off, especially because it's on the left side rather than the right. So I thought that was weird at first, but then I thought about how drivers stuck in traffic there will be useful to see it. Also, it looks fake. I was looking at my own picture of the thing, and it looks like one of those design mock-ups that you would submit to somebody for consideration. It looks like a cartoon fake almost, even though I guarantee you it actually is real sitting there in the dirt at NES Pensacola. So very cool. Lisa Newell comes up next with the Gulf Breeze News.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3.